I'm still thinking about last night. It was a wonderful atmosphere. It was lovely. I also thought of the word, I believe from Psalm 133, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And you can see that best in a meeting when there is unity of the Spirit. I rejoiced from my heart over every word that was read. You have to be able to go along with it inwardly. When we sang the songs, I thought to myself that the lyrics were unique. I thought the melody could have been a little nicer. But inwardly, it's about the lyrics, not the melody. If I could, I would make them more beautiful, I'm honest. I like a melody that has life and music in it. But anyway, as I said, it's always about the content. Now we have heard an abundance of God's thoughts from the Word again. And I don't want to let Brother Rus off the hook this morning. You haven't finished your part yet. How wonderful that we can just be together like family, without any pressure, without anything, just being here in the presence of God. It doesn't always have to be a powerful sermon. We also have to let God work. Take it in powerfully, Brother Schmidt says. And that's right too. You know what's on my heart. What Brother Turo expressed in a small way is close to my heart in a big way. To reach everyone we have ever known. We know that time is coming to an end. The coming of the Lord is near. We remember that we have taken on a responsibility because the Lord spoke to us and made His word and His will known. We have the task of carrying this word. And believe me, it's not just about a few people. It is about the whole world, about all peoples, tongues, and nations. Those who know Revelation 14, I believe verse 6, there is mention of an angel flying in the midst of heaven to preach to all peoples, tongues, and nations the everlasting gospel. The gospel of God, the gospel of the kingdom, for a witness to all nations. We bear sorrow for churches, for brothers and sisters who sing from their hearts, who hear God's word from their hearts, and yet do not know what God is doing now. And we do not judge, we bear sorrow. We are deeply grieved, I almost say it, for everyone. For Jews, for Gentiles, for Muslims, for Hindus, whoever they may be. It is easy to pass judgment and say, huh, they are going astray. But it is quite another thing to bear divine compassion and to know that people are lost. and have not heard the gospel. This must be and will be our task. I just believe it. I believe that God will truly let the nations hear the gospel again in its original form. There is a word that Paul wrote to the Romans, which is intended to provoke the Jews to emulate. And this is a passage from Moses, not mine. Perhaps I will read it quickly. I will have to look it up myself. It will be in Romans 10. Romans 10. Paul writes there, Romans chapter 10, verse 19. But I say, did not Israel know? Oh yes. First, Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. Then it continues with Isaiah. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. Beloved, we could now delve deeper into this. Paul began by describing or quoting Isaiah 53 here. He said this in verse 16. Who has believed our report? This is already written in the prophet Isaiah. Now we are dealing with the people of Israel. And God, the Lord, blinded their eyes at that time in order to open our eyes, took out the natural branches in order to put us as wild branches into the olive tree. But then, as already emphasized, Paul writes here, referring to the word in Deuteronomy 32, with reference to Israel, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. If something is to happen to Israel that makes them jealous, after all, they are God's people. They are waiting for the Messiah. And you all know, there are so many different opinions about this. Some believe that the Messiah will be a man like David. There is hardly anyone. I have not yet met a single Jew who believes that the Messiah is God the Lord. Not one. Perhaps they will still come when the Lord reveals himself to them. But to this day, they believe that the Messiah will be a specially anointed man, one who, like David, will bring victory, with whom God will be in a special way. By the way, the entire Muslim world believes this too. Did you know that the 40 Muslim countries that exist on earth believe in the return of the Messiah? Is that news to you? It looks like. they believe that the Messiah did not die. They believe that someone else died in his place, but that he ascended to heaven and that he will return and clean up before God establishes the kingdom on earth. I had to look into these things. I will explain the reason to you another time. But I found it very interesting. If you want to reach these peoples, you have to know what they believe and what they teach. There is no other way. You have to stand on their ground in order to reach them. And for me, some of it is new and yet edifying. I see an open door there. I see an opportunity to reach people who have not yet been reached and whom no evangelist can reach. No one. That is not possible, because they cannot enter the minds of these people. I don't know if you heard it here in the news yesterday, but in southern Germany, it was on the radio and in the press of Oral Roberts that he only needs $9 million by the end of March. If the 9 million does not come in, God will take him away. And I thought to myself, what a deception in the kingdom of God. What a deception with the word of God. Deception in the whole world is worst in the religious sphere. And when our brother read the word, if we say that John was a prophet, the people will stone us because they believe that John was a prophet. The moment people have to admit that God had a prophet, they know that they should have believed what the prophet told them in the name of the Lord. But they always want to pull their heads out of the noose so that they cannot be held fast. Especially the man who was dying of tuberculosis. And then suddenly came or was brought to a meeting of Brother Branham and was healed. And saw what God had done, and then still went his own way, doing his own big programs. We do not judge, but we are grateful to God, grateful that we were allowed to be part of God's plan. We are grateful that we have recognized, and we are not ashamed, that God sent his servant and prophet, our beloved brother William Branham, with a true message of God for this hour. And I believe that the Lord still has plans and that many more will be called out. God will do it. I have said this here at least once, perhaps several times, in terms of small towns or cities or countries. There are only a few everywhere, but overall, God will have a great multitude. I believe that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ our Lord will have been worth it. It is my conviction that as many as the devil has torn down, the Lord will take up. It will be a beautiful number, don't worry. In eternity, the number will be complete. No seat will be empty in glory. God will still reap a rich harvest. Brother Rus, there is another word on my heart. Do you have a special word? You know that when I open the Bible, it is almost always about doctrine. And that is also very important. But we talked about the word yesterday. And the scriptures that were read were all so precious. The first scripture I would like to read is in Revelation chapter 19. We emphasize the importance of the word in this place. Revelation 19, verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. Without him, nothing exists. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is at the end. Not the interpretation, but the Word, the original, which God gave us by grace and let become great. What I was still thinking about is Deuteronomy 29, or rather the last words of chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28, the last verse. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab, beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. You also know verse 29 of chapter 29. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. And then comes prophecy. Then comes the prophecy of the gathering of Israel. I would like to briefly draw a comparison between Israel, which was scattered, and the church, which is also scattered in all the other churches. I believe that there are still children of God in many churches, people who sincerely want to serve God, who are willing to do the will of God, provided they only know it. I read from Deuteronomy 30, and it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, and thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations whither the Lord thy God has driven thee, and shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations whither the Lord thy God has scattered thee. If any of thine be driven out unto the utmost parts of heaven, from thence will the Lord thy God gather thee, and from thence will he fetch thee. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good, and multiply thee above thy fathers. What a wonderful promise. Let us pause here for a moment. The Lord has scattered. He gathers again. He brings back to the land of promise. And what happens naturally to God's natural people also happens spiritually to the church. A return, a bringing back, a restoration to what was originally. Here is the promise, and he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. In verse 6 it says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord, and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, and so on. You can all read on. These are wonderful promises that God has given. Here it says, and the Lord thy God will circumcise thine heart and the heart of thy seed. A circumcision of the heart by the sword of the Spirit, by God's word. On us, then on the people of Israel. Paul mentions this in at least two places. Romans 2:28. There Paul writes about the circumcision of the heart. And believe me, only in a heart circumcised by God can the revealed word truly become revelation. All others will not be able to accept it, because what is revealed by God can only be placed in a heart that has been pardoned and circumcised by God. Romans chapter 2, 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the Spirit.
Und die Beschneidung muss am Herzen vollzogen sein im Geist.
Und die Beschneidung and circumcision is that of the heart in the Spirit and not in the letter. And then, whose praise is not of men, but of God. The one who has experienced circumcision in the heart, in the Spirit, and the Spirit always takes God's word, for God's word is Spirit and life, and that is the difference. Here, no one is working on anyone else. Here we are all gathered before the face of God to let His word work in us so that what He has promised can also happen. In Colossians 2, Paul elaborates on the same thought a little further. Colossians 2, verse 11. In whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ.
Die Beschneidung Christi.
We see what this is about, not the circumcision of Moses, but the circumcision of Christ. A new heart, a new spirit has been given to us. This is further explained in verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him, through the faith of the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead.
Der ihn aus den Toten auferweckt hat.
We have already heard Brother Terai read about the working of God. Here we are again assured that we have been raised with Christ. Beloved, I will tell you where our real mistake lies. We have not yet fully understood who and what we are. We have not yet realized what God has actually made us. And why not? Because we look at our outward appearance and neglect our inner being. When the Holy Scripture says that we were crucified with Christ, died with Him, and were buried with Him, then that is true. And when the Scripture says that we rose with Him, then that is also true. And if it is true, then it is only up to our faith to move the arm of God. And may that be the desire of all of us, that we may say, Lord, deliver us from unbelief. What did we read yesterday? I believe Brother Rus read it from Hebrews. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The worst thing that can happen to us as children of God is to question what God has done, what God has said, what He has accomplished. So it depends on our faith to believe as the scripture has said. And if we have found grace before God to accept everything so far and can bear witness to it, it has become revelation to us. Be honest, the entire message is not a letter for us. It is not a special teaching. It is all summarized. The revelation of Jesus Christ, revelation of God's plan of salvation from A to Z, introduction to the will of God. If all this has been given to us by grace, then we can confidently believe that God still has something planned for us. And I believe, as I have said often enough, the greatest and most powerful is yet to come. I read it again in the Seals book where Brother Branham speaks about the time that is to come when God will do great things in the bride. What causes us difficulty, especially me, is the waiting time, persevering in patience, doing nothing of our own, but waiting until God's hour strikes. And I tell you, with God, in God's time, more can happen and will happen in 1 year than would happen in 100 or 1,000 years if we make efforts and think we have to help God. Wait until that time comes. But during this waiting period, let us be grateful, grateful for what God has already done, and then look to the future with faith, believing that He will do what is still to come in His time. God is faithful. He gathers the scattered, and we will be happier than we perhaps suspect or see today. It is said of Job that God restored his prosperity and everything was fine again. Everything will be fine. The end will be more glorious than the beginning. God will finish his work in victory, for that is worthy of God, and he will emerge victorious from everything. Praise be to his holy name. Amen.